Yeah.
Okay, we'll call the administrative portion of the meeting to order. There are two items on the consent calendar. I move passage of those items.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, discussion. The first item is Commissioner Paul.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is just a, I was talking with Stacy the other day. I was trying to find a presentation that we put together back on wind. The point of this story is that all of us always have these presentations we put together, and I didn't know if it was worthwhile.
Basically, wondering if my colleagues would be interested in having some kind of drive where we put all of our presentations. We all put together presentations, whether it's for the Grainmans or the Wind Group or this group or that group, and then we get a call to do another one. We can go back and look at where they're at. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I've got probably 30 presentations that I put on my desk that I should, my desktop that I should put out there somewhere else. Just never thought of it. So perfect. I don't know. I'm fine not doing it, but it seems like we should have somewhere we put them because we don't have to reinvent the wheel if we give an association county's presentation. We've already got one put together.
Stacy and I have a shared file ready for communication stuff, right? So we could just create a presentations file in that and dump them there and give these all of us access. Steve would have to give us the access, I think. That's the only goofy part about our shared files is they're clamped down, which gets frustrating for folks if they can't get in and they create their own and then there goes the sharing.
No sharing.
Well, so how does that work then? You say have created a
I'll give you an
presentation
example.
For, and I think of it because we just came from the grain dealers.
Right.
So if you had done a presentation last year, it wouldn't be the same one I'd use, so I'd go in and alter it, but then now yours is gone.
No.
Because
I think you'd create a new version of it. You know, mine would be BP Calc Brilliant Presentation 2014. Yours would be Randy's OK Presentation 2017. We'd find some way to delineate the two. The only thing I thought of might be different is we wouldn't want to save stuff in there that talks about rate cases or this is just general thing. Because you wouldn't want to save a, I don't know, man, I'm looking at Alana. That's only the only ointment I thought there where if we had presentations like we get from Excel in a certain case, those certainly wouldn't go out there. It would just be things that we create in talking to the different groups that, Usually what happens is they invite one of us to do the presentation this year, the next one they invite the next year, and I got a lot of... When Tony left, I asked him to give me a dump of all his presentations, so he did, and it's been very helpful sometimes to have those to modify, to tweak, to update.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, all righty. Thank
then
you.
Then all of them can go to Stacy, and she can put them up there and teach us how to do it ourselves.
All right, that's easy okay. enough.
Number two, NSP XL.
Okay, this is just more of, I guess, my pontification with my colleagues. The, we talked just this morning about, 07, there's modifications on that, and we've got the RTF that came out of one of our previous rate cases, and I'll tell the two of you that I'm just completely frustrated in this whole deal. When we had the hearing that it was part of the settlement agreement, in my mind, the intention was that they'd have something worked out by now, and now we're just seeing this thing continue to evolve longer and longer and longer. They did their filing at December 31st at midnight, which that's their right to do it, and then the next thing we see paperwork that says, well, we can't do anything for another 6 months. I guess at this point, I'm like, you know what, fine. Let's let the rules that are in place are in place. If they want to keep protracting this out because they're clearly trying to appease Minnesota and make sure what they have was they're agreed with there. So I guess I just wanted to put that out there that I'm just going to table this for a while because we don't need to work in the RTF. So if one of my colleagues wants to do something different, we should schedule a work session on it. But at this point, I'm not going to waste any more time on it until the appropriate time because they clearly have just put this aside and want to see what Minnesota says before they come to us with what their final solution is. In my mind. So that's my pontification.
I might have missed a more recent filing from them, so bring me up to speed on did they file a delay of some sort?
Well, it's just they filed it, and there was the discussion. I don't remember where exactly it was, that it'll be several months before testimony back and forth,
great.
And they're looking at, I was hoping that this thing would be wrapped up last year. And so now we're looking at maybe this summer that there'll be some kind of discussion, and to me, it's a delay tactic that they're not wanting to move with us until they get clarity on Minnesota, which was the point of the whole RTF anyway. So
I'm still digesting it, so I don't, you know, have any.
I just more wanted to share it because usually I would right push now. To get something where we discuss, but they've got a different strategy in mind, and we've got we can continue to have ADPs, and that's what we'll do.
And there's only so much we can only push so much if someone doesn't respond or file, then we just are where we are, I guess. Right. So I don't know that we need really any action on this.
No, I just wanted to kind of give an update because usually I try to keep things moving pretty steady, and this is one where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to pull back and let this sort itself out. You know, I don't want staff spending tons and tons of time if the company's holding back for a while.
Okay. Is there in terms of processing this, is there going to be the typical like division of staff type of thing?
Absolutely.
Because it's not really a rate case.
It's from a settlement. It's a piece part of a settlement.
Sure.
So you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to hire any help?
Well, there's been discussion on that, actually, that the company was very gracious in offering up some of their dollars to go back and let our advocacy staff hire an expert. So, I mean, there is movement going on here, but it seems it's more of a delaying tactic in my mind. But, no, there's the advocacy staff's got money to go hire an expert, and there'll be a full-blown case on something, what they finally proposed. But I guess I had hoped at this time that advocacy staff and the company had something they agreed on, and they would have submitted it to us. And we would then make a determination on it. It's clear, in my mind anyway, that advocacy staff and them have not come to an agreement, and there's still this back and forth, and it seems to me that they've not, NSB has not agreed to anything because they haven't got clarity out of Minnesota yet. So this will be a full-blown case at some point in time.
Yeah. Well, and depending on what Minnesota decides, we may not like, or vice versa.
Absolutely. So we just leave and play what's in play.
It looks like Patrick has something that he wants to add, or else he's just real ready to answer a question, if need be.
I guess I think I heard the answer to my question, that the staff would continue to process this filing, and there's some dollars for advocacy staff to do that, and so that we'll go forward with it.
Well, absolutely, but I guess the discussion I had 4 or 5 months ago was hopeful that the December filing would actually say something, except we're going to talk some more for 6 months and have a hearing. I was hopeful that the December filing would have something that we could then act on in January or February to have some closure. But to me, the filing just kicks the can down the road in under 6 months.
Well, it is a super complicated effort. I mean,
they've made it that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the issues at hand are just, I don't know that I ever saw a simple solution available. It's complicated. I just wonder how we best represent North Dakota's interests, and I think it's important that we get the additional help on the advocacy side to really dig into this and figure out, provide some additional thought and direction and feedback on what the company has laid out as options. Because I've looked at the options and, well, they're pretty significant. I mean, it's a very big change, some of what they're proposing here. And I think we've got to have some real critical analysis of that.
Sure. I just figured I'd cue it up because we'd had this discussion back in, I think, September, October, and I think my comments then were hopeful to do something earlier, and that's not going to play out. So there's always the other option, go back and amend the rate case and just take it out and say it's a done deal.
Well, and there's all kinds of options. Well, and the rate case never forced us to make any decision on this. Like, we're not obligated to accept any of the RTF proposals.
Correct.
At least my understanding of it at the time even was, so we're just looking at, and we can still choose to stay the course with what the financial arrangements are today between North Dakota and NSP.
That was it. I just wanted to bring that to all of you.
So staff's going to keep processing, though, and moving forward.
Yes, advocacy staff especially. I think advisory staff was to my point of, I'm not going to be pinging on advisory staff as hard as I have been the last 2 months mm-hmm. because I was hopeful advocacy staff in the company would figure something out. They haven't done anything. And so, well, they've done something, but they don't have an agreement yet. So advocacy staff keep doing what they're doing, advisory staff. You got other things to worry about. When the time comes, then work on it. But right now, we've got other fish to fry.
And it sounds like it's quite clear from as close as you've been working with this, we all might as well tamper back our expectations. There's not something coming, you're saying, in January or February. It's
absolutely
a ways out yet. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Number three is legislative discussion with Conrad.
I just asked Conrad to put it on because I know he wanted to talk, but broad enough because in case we have any other bills, we got to hash through here.
I think there's at least four.
And Conrad likes to see his name in print, I found, as a new guy.
Every once in a while. And once a week, I figure, as long as I can get it in there. So I think the one big one that we have that we weren't able to discuss at last Friday's meeting was Bill 1124, correct, Alana, with the amendments
yeah.
that they were talking about with that? Their Agriculture Committee plans on discussing it this week again.
Yeah, and the amendment, I'm not sure that I got the amendment, although I was supposed to get it. Oh, I do have it.
This is their amendment?
This is one possible amendment, and I'm not exactly sure who proposed it. And it would be proper written demand requires a licensee's acknowledgement of receipt of written demand. That means the elevator would have to acknowledge they got the demand. And then once that was talked about, the committee had a million what-ifs, like, why would an elevator ever acknowledge it if they were ready to go under? Those kinds of it's all good points. So I don't think this amendment is not the magic amendment. This was thrown out as a possibility. I had said we needed to look at it, but it's not the answer. There's a lot of questions from that committee about that bill. They're all legitimate. They're all hard to answer. There's a lot of variables that the bill doesn't even attempt to address. And when they got talking about this amendment and everything else, I gave Conrad a note that said, I'd be happier if the thing died than if we tried to come up with these magic sentences because they're just all imperfect and could really make things worse. They have a lot of concerns about how much trouble the farmer would have to go through, how much trouble the elevator would have to go through, and whether it would fix anything. It kind of sums it up.
The whole trouble that the farmer has to go through, I just think that is so nitpicky.
Well,
really? That's burdensome to make a written demand for money?
It's yeah, crazy. One of them commented, you know, if somebody owed him money, he'd send the certified letter. I mean, this is one of the legislators.
Right.
I don't know. That bill, there's so much going on in the session that has some real consequence. If that bill just died, I would not be crying over it. We tried. We'll be interpreting it. If it passes, we'll be interpreting any proposed amendments. We'll be interpreting it if it doesn't pass. So I don't know how you feel, but that's where I'm coming from.
Maybe they can. Never mind.
I think with this really only implied with the last insolvency that we have. The other ones before this, there's really no challenge on the date of the insolvency. So, and a lot of the questions they raise, I mean, those are legitimate questions that is unclear currently as the law stands. So to try and go in there and attempt to clarify it even more might just be opening up a larger can of worms than we want to deal with. We've got Bill 1126 that we really want to put our efforts towards and making sure we get that through.
Did it create more, what we were trying to do, more on clarity, or did it get rid of a little bit, but there's still more that remains?
It got rid of some.
Right.
And I said that's all I kept saying, that if there are interpretation problems to the concept of demanding your money or your beans or... And this just narrows the breadth and number of them,
right?
The written, which we thought would be helpful.
Yeah.
But if it's not, it's not.
Right.
And the problem being that the last case now, the first time it comes up, that being the first time it has come up, now the judge's ruling on it will change our interpretation. And to me, the judge's ruling on it is far murkier than the way we used to interpret it.
Right. And maybe going forward at this point, one of the things we just need to let settle out is I don't think that I'm not opposed to addressing this, but maybe it's something for down the road a little bit more after we get through the Grand Forks bean items to see how that eventually all plays out and once it's finally settled out, and then to see how we might address it a little.
You know, I have a lot of faith in the policymakers. We've presented the problem to them. People have been warned that this one kind of works out because everybody puts in a claim and goes back earlier and earlier and gets to the highest price. And so the other claimants mostly probably like that price too. They've been warned there will be a future case that involve multiple types of grain. And this opening it up that it's whenever you claim that you asked for it, someone will choose the highest for their commodity, which will be the lowest time for someone else's commodity, and we're going to have a real dilemma. But they've been told, and if they don't pass the bill, we'll have to interpret it based on the last judge's ruling.
Is there any value to you going to these members or to the committee as a whole and saying, listen, you've pointed out, you're making the case for why we are trying to do this. There's all these issues that are unclear. We're trying to clarify one of them and take away one of those issues. We're not trying to address it all, and we recognize that there's, but give us this much clarity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just really, because I think that they feel like what we're doing has made it more unclear. Like, we've added all these issues, and we haven't. We've tried to take away one, and still recognizing that there's also others, but it would be helpful if we could have at least this much clarity.
Well, we actually get a second bite of the apple in this rare case because our overall sweeping changes in 1126, as a effort to just keep it consistent, have this change in there too.
Yeah.
And so when we testify on that, when we get to that point,
that's a good point,
I'll be able to highlight it again. But they pretty much know that. And
yeah.
There's other people who interpret what we're doing differently. And those folks down there will weigh which one they want to follow.
Yeah.
I would think that maybe the end of discussion is I don't foresee any proposed amendment on our side. I mean, it's pretty clear, and I don't think we need to muddy the waters by requiring saying the elevator, okay, now you have to acknowledge you received this copy of this written demand. It's, you know, it's pretty straightforward there, and it's, as Lana brought up to the committee before, it's open to the court on what they want to view as an acceptable written demand, whether it's text message, email, certified mail. I mean, it's really the court's interpretation at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we need to be proposing anymore, but we need to keep monitoring it. So if they propose something unworkable, we can point it out.
So do you want to like talk to the chairman of that? This amendment is not the answer either, or do you want me to do that, or do you want me to do something in writing? Because the specific question was, what does the commission think of this amendment?
We don't like it.
Well, I think, yeah, you can respond to them that it probably would not be workable. We continue to think what we had offered, while not solving the problem, it lessens the problem, but we don't have a better solution, or we'd have offered it before.
Well, do we let staff take that to the next level, say, listen, what we submitted is what we think is right. We don't want any amendments. If you can't support the way it is, then let's just put this thing away.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. Tell the committee.
Well, no, I don't want to rule out any other amendment. Maybe they think of something that we haven't thought of that's workable too. They don't have very many bills in that committee. No. Kind of got some time.
Ergo, why they're missing.
So maybe they come up with something we didn't think of. So I don't want to rule that out. But right now, I don't know that we can think of a solution that improves it more than the solution we initially proposed. And I think the one they've offered isn't as good as what we offered, and so I don't find it very helpful. Did you say you had several things?
We should coordinate what is going to be presented on in writing on 11/26, the big bill, and then we should discuss 11/62.
Okay, let's take 11/26 first.
Okay.
I don't know that it would be well enough written to call it even a draft of testimony, maybe more of a stream of consciousness. But I gave it to Conrad. I don't know if the other commissioners have seen it yet or not, but it's laid out there. I know I definitely want Conrad and Alana to both have looked at it, because maybe I've used the word insolvency instead of indemnity or vice versa or things like that. Like I say, it was just my thoughts as I went through the bill, but it is at least a starting point. And, you know, so if you can talk to Conrad or look at that, those copies, and give feedback, and we'll just keep working on it.
I know Commissioner Clark has taken a look at it, and then Amy has a copy for you, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Okay.
You had stepped out yesterday. And
what I told Conrad is I thought it looked good in areas like this. I think to let the portfolio holder do the tweaking as it needs be. And
is it similar to what you put together that I looked at for the grain dealers?
There's
some of that.
It's kind of different in that, you know, it starts out making sure, and we're even going to prepare a chart, but most of those committee members, it's set probably for a couple, haven't really worked with this a lot. And when we say grain buyer, I think they think we would mean all the licensees.
Yeah.
But so, for example, they have to start out, before we even talk about the bill, understanding grain warehouses as opposed to grain buyers. And then they need to understand the important distinction between credit sale claimants, non-credit sale claimants, and people who were just had storage. Mm-hmm. Those two big distinctions. And then I went through, and it sort of explains how, when it comes to the warehouses, it's the first section and the third section, and for whatever reason, everything is divided into two sections there. And for the grain buyers, it's all in one section. That's the second section of the bill. The fourth section applies to everybody. And then it goes through and says, okay, in this section and this section are the corresponding ones for the two groups. And here's the change we're making, and it just marches through it. It definitely needs significant tweaking, but I think it's a starting point.
Good. Well, I'll take a peek at it, and I'm sure it sounds great.
Certainly looking for ideas.
Deregulate grain licensing.
I continue to believe it's to the folks who want to oppose its strength to try to complicate it.
Yep.
And when we get into the weeds, then it works to the advantage of those who want to suggest it's complicated. I think it's pretty simple, so stick to the main goals and points, and we should be in good shape.
Okay, so that's 11/26, and I'll get you a copy, too. And
yeah, well, Conrad just did.
Okay.
I'll read it next. I thought I would have perhaps a kind of an itemized list of the changes, but it's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to.
Which one's 11/62 again? I can't remember all these.
11/62 is the one about one private business suing.
Oh yeah.
Another state agency.
Yep.
In front of the commission.
Okay, I remember that now.
Jack attended. He did a little summary, and it should be docketed now. I do have the testimony of the others that I'll get in through the docket on 11/62, but I have, if there wasn't a big stir down there that this was totally crazy, if there was like, oh, well, maybe we'll amend out the state mill and the bank in North Dakota, this is scary. It doesn't belong, and we may have to just get the PSC out of it. If it's going to fly, it can fly with somebody else doing it. It's a very scary bill, and it will take, if it passes, you're going to have a lot of cases to hear. Try to get by.
But back to the point about the discussion of, okay, we don't think it's the right thing to do, but if you're going to give it to us, we need 50 people.
Yeah, I mean, we have to make an estimate, and it has to be on the high end of what we think is possible.
Well, the fiscal note did not have numbers in it in the end because it became impossible to quantify, but that would, you know, and I had verbal conversations with, like, Sheila Sandness on the fiscal note, I suggested that maybe they ask a few other agencies for their costs, like what would it cost for Health Department to defend a lawsuit? What would it cost for Bank of North Dakota to defend a lawsuit? She suggested that we get something to attach to the fiscal note, but I didn't get that from anybody. So, I mean, I talked to the AG's office and I talked to Sherry. Now, Sherry did go down and testify, to her credit, but and she thought about doing an attachment. I'm not sure why she concluded not. I mean, I don't know what those numbers should be. We did do
some. Is there a number? Is there another run we can make at the fiscal note, or is that done? Like, we
can't. Well, we can ask to amend it. We can ask to amend it, but we have to have some. You know, you have to identify all your assumptions and have something to base it on. So we had started to identify like a one-day hearing and what would the ALJ cost and how much. But the hearing is not the only time. You have your prep time and your order writing time.
But you, all of that can be quantified.
But that,
so
yes.
You could estimate, like you, well, could estimate a cost of one hearing.
You could make a rough estimate of that because you don't know how much time you're really going to put in. I'm not saying it can't be done.
Of course you can't, but we have to.
Yeah, they're going to vary, and we're going to have to use some variance on it, I think, because it'll be different if the case is that some small town went in with their payloader and cleaned the grocery store's parking lot and some contractor wanted to do it, as opposed to if someone is saying, if a local law firm decides that legislative counsel is interfering with private business and that all the legislators ought to come and deal with the law firms. That's going to be a much bigger case than cleaning the parking lot.
Could I offer
and
this
so
up,
I think we need to get a number and make sure and err on the high end and multiply it out, because that's what's going to get us to the Appropriations Committee. As long as we don't put a number on, we're never going to the Appropriations Committee, I don't believe. And B, to emphasize the fact that this could potentially be big. And then the second thing, I think in our testimony, it needs to go beyond the numbers, but somehow, and this is sort of a question where I'm not informed legally, but these, if they're going to have this system where people can air their grievances that the government is interfering with private business, why that's a court thing. You get a lawyer and you go to court. And I presume the courts don't want it because they're too busy. But so would we be. We would be overwhelmed. There's just no end to the kinds of, almost everything the government does could be done by a private company.
Right, and I think we tried to say that.
Could I just interject here 1 second?
Yes.
You already talked earlier about you might have to have a legislative discussion this afternoon. Why don't we get this stuff scheduled and pick this back up? Because you said you wanted to have we needed to have another meeting this afternoon about
budget,
so why don't we table this and get the schedule and get these guys back to work, and then we can puddle on this because we could go another 10 minutes and it's a worthwhile discussion. But
I think the bottom line is all of us agree that we have to come up with something on fiscal note, even if it's hard.
Yeah, so
and even if it's a guesstimate.
Muddle
so
that together.
We have to
bit.
Base it on what an average hearing will be and
okay.
Provide that.
I'm just asking for some help with that because it's going to be impossible for me. I could do that for 2 days straight. That's why I gave up numbers.
Well, we're going to schedule a meeting this afternoon, though, to have more protracted, and I can give you some thoughts after we're done here, Alana.
I'm just asking, I mean, for someone in addition to me to be working on that because there's other legislative things I'm also working on. Yeah. And I think we must have to want to get it done today or tomorrow.
It has to be.
The hearing's been held. Much of it is outside our area of expertise. Much of the fiscal impact, I don't know if counties did anything. I don't know if cities did anything. I'm wondering why not.
Well, it doesn't. That isn't our issue. We can only estimate the impact on us.
No, but the fiscal note, it covers everything.
We'll just cover our piece of it, and at least they will know that for the PSC, they think it's going to cost 2 FTEs and X millions of dollars or whatever that is, $500,000 or that's what we would need. And then they can deal with it in the other way. And by the way, the other argument is there's already a whole system in place to handle these calls. It's called the courts. Can't they take these to the court already? It's illegal for the government to compete with the private sector. So Why can't they take these issues to the court system? Why are they creating this whole weird new avenue?
And those questions, I don't know if I can say.
That was my point.
Let's take this up this afternoon. Let's.
Other directors.
Is there another one that needs to be done now, so that we can move on to scheduling?
I'm saying so. It's not.
And they can come back this afternoon, and we have our legislative discussion.
Okay, fine. I mean, we've got 11:44. We've got the siting bill, and we've got the letter drafted asking for the revisions, and an amendment drafted asking for what we wanted amended, but then
okay. But the point was, let's just move this on now. And get this afternoon. We can just notice legislative discussion, and we can spend protracted time when we're not broadcasting to the whole world what we're talking about. It's just not.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you meant go to the next.
Okay. So we'll call it a wrap on the legislative discussion and move into scheduling. Is there anything on here that anybody needs to move up more quickly than the others?
Maybe let's have a discussion since it's a hot topic.
On the calendar. Well.
That's this afternoon sometime. We could find a time. So staff knows because they're sitting here.
And it'll be not late.
1:30?
I'm just getting mine opened up here.
I can do 2.
2?
Anytime after 2 I can do.
Okay. I'm available anytime, so.
Two 2:30 is the discussion on 11:62, the working, so hopefully don't let us go to that.
I have a meeting at 2:30, but I think I can put him off some. But.
Well, actually, you guys can start at whatever time you want, then I'll finish my meeting. If you want to start at 1:30, that's fine. I'll just finish up mine as quick as I can.
Okay, let's start it at 1:30, if you don't mind.
Perfect.
Legislative discussion, 1:30. Okay.
Budget/legislative discussion, because we had to talk about the budget in there somewhere, too.
Budget/legislative discussion,
okay. Okay. Well, we'll just take them in order. The informal hearing with MDU on Bronson's Marketplace. Is that...
Is
that a one-hour thing or a three-hour thing or what?
Probably 1 hour. I'm standing in for Mr. Shook. The company is okay doing it when we already have an informal hearing scheduled for. So they like the date of Thursday, February 16th.
Oh, sure, that's the offset because of Nehruk, right?
Right.
Works for me.
Okay, but the only thing they would like to do is move the time to 2 p.m. because they have people on the west side of the state that are in mountain time that will want to join in the call. So if we have it at 2 p.m. versus 1:30, then those people that are in mountain time will be over their lunch break and can be involved.
To you guys, I'm good with anything.
2 o'clock is fine with me, but when I asked about the order of doing these, now I see an issue. So let's set it at 2 on February 16th, but the MDU people, if they're listening, shouldn't hang up. This might get bumped.
Okay.
So let's jump down to number 3. We spent a lot of time on this for a long time, and then, you know, there's the whole thing with getting it ultimately to the Attorney General and then to the Legislative Committee, and one can easily end up losing 3 months over a couple days. So how long do we need of a hearing on the wind decommissioning rulemaking? That was my next question, but now, is that a whole day thing or a half day thing? Or
I think you have to allow a whole day for something what this might end up at, because the notice will go out today, and
it will not go out today.
Okay, it'll go out sometime, so that might be soon. Maybe that February is a little premature for the notice period, but I think a day.
And then how long, so it goes out in the next few days, but how long?
20 days minimum from the last publication. You publish in every county. So you will probably be publishing, if it went out the end of this week, you're going to be publishing the end of next week. A lot of them are Thursdays, I think. Aren't they, Pat?
Well, you remember you got Fargo, so it's going to be a week from Monday. True. Yeah.
Okay.
So the 30th would be Fargo.
So
okay, and then we need how many days after the 30th?
20.
So that's Sunday the 19th. So we have to have it after the 19th.
After the 20th. You don't count Sunday if it ends on a Sunday.
Well, the 20th, okay. So didn't we schedule something on the 28th already or the 27th? But it's not on my calendar.
Of February?
Yeah. But if not, then my question is, do one of those days work?
Say that again, Randy.
Either the 27th or 28th?
Of February?
Yeah.
Good for me, both days.
Yep, those are fine.
Let's do it the 28th.
What day is that?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Probably do it Monday. Jerry's gone in the mornings on Tuesday.
Oh, Monday is good too then. February 27th.
Monday be better.
Yeah.
Again, this is all day, so you're going to look started at 9 or 8?
8:30 would be, I would not do 8. If you want to start before 9, I'd do 8:30. But I don't know.
I just don't know if there's, I mean, how many? The it's one of those things where sometimes I think everything's been said, but not everybody said it. I don't know if there's that many things to say, but everybody doesn't necessarily have to say them. But do we need? Do we think it needs really a full day that we need to start early like that? I think 9 o'clock is plenty early.
It's fine with me. I'm sure there'll be a lot of comments. The landowner groups will come, and the industry will come. So I'm guessing you take a wind hearing and think of it like that, wind project hearing.
I'm fine with whatever you guys decide.
You want to do 8:30?
Sure, I'm fine with 8:30.
Okay, 8:30 it is.
Hopefully, since you get up at 4:44, you'll be ready by 8:30.
I'll definitely be ready by
8:30. Do we go 8:30 to 5? Is that we want to look at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And so then we'll leave the MDU one on February 16th at 2 o'clock, like we said, and jump back to informal hearing on Meadowlark Wind.
Okay. I guess whenever you want to do this is good.
Remind me what this is again. Is this their application needs to be re-upped?
It's been more than 4 years since their permit was issued, so they filed a certification. And so in the certification, there's some studies and stuff that were redone and things like that, and they'll just present all of that. I'd give it a half day.
And here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And does that need to be advertised? And no. Is there any time frame on it? We can just have it.
We've already done that stuff. Want.
Informal hearing announcements.
Well, for some reason, I don't have anything next Thursday.
What's the date on that?
The 26th. Would that work in the afternoon?
Yeah. Yeah, it works here.
Just not the morning, right? Or is afternoon
morning doesn't
not so good
work
either?
I'm the 26th right. And 27th. I'm out.
Okay.
Okay.
Of January.
What I've got here is a list of dates that aren't good. So if you give me a date, I'd look at my list.
Well, that's next week already, so.
Yeah. It was a little quick.
The 30th, 31st are packed.
They're bad. We look into February?
Well, yeah. The 3rd, the 1st. The first,
third, fourth, or fifth. What days are those?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So the 3rd is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We already have something with Otter Tail Power on in the afternoon, and our legislative meeting, so the third ain't going to work.
About 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th?
Well, those are all good by me. The 7th is a director's meeting at 1:30.
Do it in the morning of the 7th?
What day is that?
Oh, no, that's a Tuesday, sorry.
Afternoon?
Well, we've got our director's meeting. Okay.
I'm out the 8th in Grand Forks, so I won't.
We can move the director's meeting to the morning of the 7th and have the hearing in the afternoon of the 7th.
Yeah.
That would work.
Okay. Appreciate it.
That would do it.
So 1 o'clock or 1:30 or what time do you want it?
It is.
Because you're gone in the morning, so what time? What time can
I'd
you be back?
I'd say 1:30 to make sure that.
And so our director meeting will be at 10 o'clock?
Sure.
The 7th?
Works.
Okay.
Okay.
And then number 4, no, the informal hearing on Antelope Hills, are we just going to skip that one and wait a couple weeks and schedule it?
Get Casey some more billable hours.
But what I would suggest on that one is we keep our third date. Everybody, that worked for everybody. March 3rd was when we were looking at for the formal hearing. That's a Friday. We had set it for 12:30. We could move it to...
Oh, I see. Okay.
If you wanted to, we could move it to after lunch.
March 3rd or March 1st?
I had it for March 3rd.
Oh, hold. There it is. Okay. Got it.
Is that still all right with the company?
Yeah, that was that date was already cleared with everybody.
Works for me.
1:30 then, Jerry? Is it?
We got to hold
for 12. 12:30.
12:30. I'm fine with that.
So keep the hold as is then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we agree, you could schedule it. You don't have to take the hold. Schedule it.
Okay.
I had one addition, Mr. Chairman, if that's all right. Okay. We have our meeting scheduled the afternoon of, what month is it, January 31st, because I thought I was traveling that morning, but Vic's going down to SPP, so could we move our January 31st meeting to the morning instead of the afternoon, that Tuesday?
Yes, we can. And so we don't have anything booked for the informal, do we?
No, I'd like to leave that afternoon open if that's all right.
Yeah. Well, let's just take the informal off if we don't have anything going and set the commission meeting to the normal time of 10 o'clock.
On that Tuesday, that'd be great.
That work?
Mm-hmm. And when are we scheduling the chili cook-off, Commissioner Fedorchak? We need to get that on the schedule.
I know, we really do, because that's kind of usually a Super Bowl-ish type thing.
I'm just saying. Of course, that's the new chair's job, I suppose, and that's one of the things that we'll have to talk about.
Have to add fun to his duty.
It's not my portfolio.
When is the Super Bowl?
February 5th. Either the Patriots or the Steelers versus the Falcons or the Pack.
So maybe it should be like Groundhog Day, the 2nd. The 3rd, we have a meeting at 1, so that doesn't lend itself to a lot of good chili cooking in this room. The 2nd, February 2nd, or do you want to do it sooner? Do you want to do it on the 30th?
What do we have on the 1st?
The 30th would be a good day for the chili cook-off.
We have an NSP work session at 1:30.
Oh, okay. Well, that won't work.
Once again, some stuff's not downloading on mine.
I think the 30th, though, I think we could work it. Would the 30th work for you? That's
January 30th.
Still a week, right? That's not next Monday, but the one day after.
Oh, so do it then break for the work session at 1:30?
Yeah, we can do it.
That's fine by me.
Hey, get your entries in there. I know I see Stacy. She doesn't like chili. We could do chili and Nephla.
Anything that fits in a crock pot.
We can do a chili cook-off, and if you don't like chili, bring something else. Beef stew. Ew. It all tastes the same.
Okay. We're good. We're adjourned.
All right.